And I don't think we can tell the story of him too much and too often. And we ought to be well acquainted and familiar with who he is. And there's a reason why. Amen. There's a reason why. And I think maybe I can emphasize that as the main point of the message. I don't even have a title for today's message. Just follow along with me. The Lord's let me kind of structure it in outline form. And we'll give it to you here this morning. The Bible said in Mark 1 verse, verse number 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Ain't that a great verse?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Mark wastes no time. He wastes no time with some preliminaries. He's not filling up some of the white space on the page. He just says, I'm going to tell you about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Can I say this may be the beginning, but it ain't had an end yet.
Amen.
The gospel is still working. The gospel is still getting the job done. And I'm thankful for that today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause here for one more moment, Lord, a prayer. We know today that, Lord, we have no right in and of ourselves, Lord, as Tim reminded us, Lord, a little while ago, even our very heart, the very core of our being, Lord, would deceive us. And Lord, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Lord, there ain't nothing about us that deserves to be able to pray today. And so, Lord, we come the only way that, Lord, you've made provision for us, and that being the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray and ask you this morning, Lord, that you'd hear our prayer. We desire mercies from the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. But, Lord, we desire mercies from our Heavenly Father. Lord, our God, the God that has been personal to us. Lord, I pray for unction and, Lord, for strength. Lord, you know the limitations of our physical being, of our mind, and, Lord, of even our own strength. But, Father, we're praying today you'd take us beyond all of that. Lord, may the words we speak be filled with the Spirit of God and, Lord, His power, His unction, His purposes. Lord, may they be accomplished, Lord, today. Lord, as we embark upon this little study, Lord, today, Lord, of this character and this individual, and Lord, how the gospel of Jesus Christ impacted his life. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, you would work in our midst. Lord, we'll be well acquainted with the subject matter that's at hand. Lord, we'll be able to identify, Lord, with the message today. Lord, I pray that it would overjoy our hearts, Lord, in Jesus and what He means and who He is and what He's provided, Lord, for our salvation and not just for that, but, Lord, our Christian life. Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do here this morning. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they would understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, is the only power in this world that can save them from their sin and change their life. Lord, all that you do for sinner and saint alike, we'll thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. When we think about the life of the Lord Jesus and the Word of God, we understand that Jesus wrote no autobiography. That is, Jesus never wrote anything about himself as far as in his physical life. He never penned anything down. Everything that we know about him is known by the four men that are led of the Holy Ghost to pin down these truths and events of his life. That namely being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John the Beloved said this toward the end of his writing. He said, these are, and I'm paraphrasing, these are some of the things the Lord did. He said, if everything had been wrote down that he did, John supposed that even the world would not be able to contain the volumes of the books that could be written about what Jesus had done. And yet Jesus never wrote anything down about himself. These are the works of the Holy Ghost as he moves upon these four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's interesting, as you study each of the gospel accounts, you find that They each seem to center in upon a certain thing concerning concerning Jesus. This are, in fact, the record of the life and the ministry and the purposes of Christ. In Matthew, it's not hard to identify that he presents Christ as the King. Or we might say this morning, the Sovereign One. He is the King, the Master. He is the Lord of His kingdom, man. And as such is the Sovereign. Luke is very clear and very plain and presents Jesus as the Savior of the world. Amen. Even in the announcement that Luke would give the record of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is constantly referenced as the Savior. A Savior is born. A Savior has come. And Luke presents him as the Savior. John, the beloved, of course, over and over references and emphasizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And he is the Son of God. And even Mark hits upon this theme from the very get-go, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this is not to say that Luke doesn't present Christ as the Sovereign or belittle that in any way. Just the fact that the Savior seems to be the preeminent theme of his writing. Matthew the Sovereign, John the Son of God. When you come to the gospel according to Mark in his account, it is interesting to me, and we may hit upon this in later times, but he is writing to the Gentiles and is presenting Christ as the servant. And surely Christ is the servant. Again, that's not saying Matthew doesn't present him in that way. That's not saying Luke doesn't present him as a servant. John obviously presents him as the servant in John 13 in the upper room. But Mark seems to make this the theme of the record in which he wants to give of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, Jesus is the King. He is Sovereign. He is Lord, and He is in control. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. And if any man's ever going to be saved, amen, he'll have to understand Jesus is the only Savior. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God. That bears out, and we'll even see it in later weeks to come throughout Mark's gospel, but John presents him as he is indeed the Son of God. There's no doubt about that. Amen. John just simply declares this is the Son of God. But may I say Jesus equally is important to him being the Sovereign and the Savior and the Son of God is that he is the servant. He is the Son of Man come to be the servant of God. And the way that he serves and the way in which he ministers is picked up as a theme by Mark, who himself, I believe you'll see this morning, was a servant of the Lord. And when we think about the gospel accounts, the fact that Jesus wrote no autobiography, and all that we know of him by these four men led of the Holy Ghost, it's important to understand there are other records that have been given of the life of Christ. But after these four accounts of Christ's life, no more records of his life were accepted as God's word or the canonization of the scripture by the early church fathers. They limited the record we have as far as the inspired, preserved, and perfect record of the life of Christ to these four accounts. And I find it interesting in each of these Gospels, it's the same as is with Mark, that this one makes no claim as to the author. That is, Mark does not say, I, Mark, or Mark, the servant of the Lord, do right. And there's no indication from beginning to end that Mark is the one that writes it. He's not bragging upon himself. I'm giving this. Matthew doesn't identify himself as the author of the gospel according to Matthew. Neither Luke, neither John the Beloved. And you show, preacher, why would that be or how could that be then that we know who the authors are? The authorship of these gospels are known through the historical references that have been passed down from the early church leaders. And so through history, it has been preserved that we know who wrote it. And yet as each of these men pin this down, in particular the gospel according to Mark that we're interested in, it is if Mark and these other men are saying, I want no glory, I want no recognition, I want all glory and recognition and preeminence to go to Christ. Is that not admirable? Is that not the way that our lives should be, and the record of our own life really should be a testimony of the life of the Lord Jesus? It matters not that men know who we are and what we have done and what has been accomplished at the ministry that we have given to Christ from our hand. What is important is that our families and our friends and those in our community would know the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work in our life. And I believe that is something Mark is most definitely interested in. And there's reason for that we want to try to get to. When you study the book of Mark, I don't want to get too bogged down here, want to get right into the thought, but primarily the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark, is unique from the other three in that he seems to be particularly concerned with Jesus' deeds and not so much or necessarily emphasizing Jesus' discourse. For instance, the gospel according to Matthew, when you read that, it is filled with just message and lesson and teaching and parables and details to the things that Jesus Christ taught. Luke gets into a lot of that. John the Beloved deals with a lot of the confrontations that Christ had with different segments of that generation and the things that he wanted them to understand. And Mark has some of that, but very little of that. And it seems like Mark has just settled in on, let me tell you what he done. Let me tell you the deeds that he done. Let me tell you the power that he exhibited along the way in his life. And I believe that that is so because Mark, amen, is acquainted with what Jesus has done for him. Amen. And if Jesus has done something for you, you want everybody around you to know, amen, what Jesus can do, that what he has done for others, what he has done for you, amen, he can do for them. And this morning, what I want to do to kick this off is kind of settle in upon the character of the one who has the hand. The Holy Ghost is moved to write this. Why this individual, Mark, amen, of all the apostles and all the disciples and all the great early church leaders, why did the Holy Ghost use this particular individual, amen, to sit down and began to write and say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And I think you'll find it interesting. I have found it very interesting, amen, to do a character study of the life of Mark. Now, let me say the name Mark. Amen. You'll find that throughout the scripture, his reference is Mark. His reference as in two names, as the man John Mark. And he's also referenced by the name Marcus. And you'll see all of those play out this morning. In fact, his name, Marcus, simply means a Christian. It means a Christian. And I believe that Marcus is a Christian all of us can identify with. When I think about the Apostle Paul, there's not a lot about the life of the Apostle Paul as far as his upbringing and the life that he lived and the great things he done for God that I can much identify with. I know he's just a man. I don't want to make a superhero out of him. Amen. But Paul did some amazing things for the Lord that, amen, to be honest, if I spend from the day till, amen, the day that I died, I don't know that I could ever accomplish half of what Paul did in his Christian life. And you think about men like Peter. I pray that it would be so. Amen. I'd love to stand on the court steps of, amen, Cock County, have the whole entire town come out, and preach and 3,000 or better get saved. I would love to see God do something like that with my life. I doubt, I doubt that would happen if I got to preach the whole town of, Newport and the county, Cock County. Amen. They probably throw rotten eggs and maters at me. Somebody say amen. And that's just the life and the testimony or the, the ministry that I have. Amen. I would love, I can't identify what I'm saying as much with Peter, Paul, and other these early church leaders and the power they had. But I think Mark is somebody, that we all can somehow find an identification with. Amen. And so to embark upon this study of John Mark, Mark, Marcus, however you want to reference him, consider some thoughts with me this morning that'll get us back to Mark 1:1. Consider with me as we think about Mark, the associations of Mark. When I think about Mark, I began to study him, and what you find, interestingly enough, we've been in this chapter a lot in the last month. In Acts chapter number 12, we find the first reference to this character of the man who penned this second gospel account. Acts chapter number 12 gives us our first introduction to him. And really, in Acts chapter number 12, it really doesn't give us much, and there's not much revealed about him except for the influences that are in his life. And when I consider the associations and the influences, I think that Mark was privileged to have great influences in his life. Look in Acts chapter number 12 for just a moment, and let me point out some of these. Of course, Acts chapter number 12 is that type. And if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know Herod is persecuting the church, vexing certain of the church. He has killed, James, the brother of John, with the sword in verse 2. He sees that pleased the Jews, and so he apprehends Peter and has the sentence set upon Peter to do the same for him. Peter's been in prison for several days, and upon the eve of the day of his execution, the angel of the Lord comes, sets Peter free miraculously out of the prison, and brings him into the streets there of Jerusalem. It's interesting that when we study this chapter upon the liberation of Peter there from the prison, that the Bible said in verse number 12, and when he had considered the thing, and is considered that this, he had been set free, had all it happened, when he come to his senses and realized this is more than something beyond my wildest imagination, the Bible said he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And I noted this, first of all, that he had an influence, an association in his life of a praying mother. A praying mother. You see, in these days of the early church, there's not much, and we preach this, we won't preach all of it. There ain't much that they can do. They ain't got swords to take up against the government. They don't have a band of men that can resist what is going on. And they are resorted to, my friend, the great privilege and power of prayer. My brother Larry, when the church said we need somewhere to meet to pray, amen, surely they wouldn't have went down to some casual Christian's house, amen, to find a place that they could go pray. I believe they said we need to get somewhere with someone who has an affection for the ministry of prayer. We need to go somewhere where prayer is being poured out. We need to go somewhere where we'll find a liberty to be able to pray. Somebody who's got a prayer closet. Somebody who has a secret place. Somebody who has an altar in their home and in their life where they can go and pray. And so when they make the search, they say, we're going to go down and we're going to meet down at the house of Mary, and that's where we'll gather to pray. Now, amen, may I say the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, was, amen, at least one of the locations for prayer by the early church on this occasion. And I wrote the thought down. I thought about it. She must have been a praying woman to entertain a prayer meeting. Can I say that again? She must have been a praying woman to entertain a prayer meeting. And I think about some of the different places, even in the 8 years that I've been here, amen, where we've held some special prayer meetings in people's homes. And if we've not held one in your home, that doesn't necessarily mean we don't think that you're a praying person. That ain't what I'm trying to emphasize. Amen. But I can remember several years back that Brother Tony, he was burdened and was going through some things, and some other men and myself got under a burden for it. And so we decided we're going to go have prayer meeting at Tony Lehman's house. And we did that several times, and I'll never forget, especially on one of them occasions. Amen. We testified. We gave a devotion. There were some songs. I think Brother Mike sang a song and led us in a song or two. And Brother Tony had a word, and he said, well, y'all just, amen, find your place anywhere in the house and begin to pray. And I'll never forget that prayer meeting that Brother Mo, I got somewhere back in one of, I think it's his bedroom by his bedside, and laid out on that floor and began to pray. Now, I don't know what happened in the other places of that house, amen, but I know that there's liberty to pray back there. You know why? Oh, he was a praying man. Amen. Do you understand the privilege that John Mark had? He had a Christian mama. He had a praying mama. He had a mama that knew how to touch heaven. In fact, amen, I don't think she had to announce her prayer life, how great of a prayer warrior she was. Amen, the church just knew this is a woman of prayer. And we can gather down at her house and pray and get a hold of God. Amen, what an influence on this young man's life. Amen, he ain't growing up with a mama who's, amen, more interested in being a social media influencer. Amen, she ain't a soccer mom, a bumper sticker on her chariot. Amen, she ain't my friend caught up in. And the things that are out there, see, is a woman who knows how to get a hold of God. Amen, and may I say to every one of you young folk, amen, and even those of us that are up in years, amen, if you know what it is to have a praying mama, you have a treasure, amen, in your life that is worth more than the wealth of this world. Amen, he has an influence of a praying mother. Amen, let me give you number two. I'm going to bog down. I won't get out of this first point. Amen, but Mark, when we think about the man Mark, amen, there's an influence, an association in his life of what I call a parent-like mentor. And you say, what do you mean? Look with me back in Acts chapter number 13. Amen. Ain't it amazing that when Peter is set out of prison, at the first place he is comfortable and feels safe to go is the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, whose name, amen, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Amen, this isn't a man that he just stumbling upon this house. Amen, this ain't his first time there. It's what I want you to understand. Amen, evidently Peter's been there before. Evidently the fact that he's just got out of prison and that's where his heart is drawn to go. He ain't just been there once. He has frequented this house much like Christ did there with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in the town of Bethany, as he would often resort there for refuge and rest and for comfort and his needs to be met. It seems as though Peter is drawn to this particular house and this particular family. The fact that this reference to this house is made as the house of Mary, and that she is the mother of John, whose surname is Mark. According to culture, would lend us to believe that, amen, evidently she is likely a widow woman. It's not the house of whoever the name of her husband was, but this is a reference to her house. And so Peter has found refuge in, no doubt, ministering to this family. Hold your place in Acts chapter number 13. And let me show you something that Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And as he wrote this epistle, he comes down to the close. And as is the case with many of the epistle writings of each of the apostles, they're going to give some salutations in the end and make reference to others that are with them or mean something to them. In 1 Peter 5 and in verse number 13, the Bible said, Peter said, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Do you see that? Peter is giving an insight on the relationship that exists between Peter and this man named Mark, John Mark or Marcus. And so Peter said, he has been as though he were a son to me. And so I find here in Acts 13 an association that Mark has in his life of a parent-like mentor. And that Peter must have been drawn to this family. He must have been drawn to them in such a way, and being drawn to them, amen, he has a mentorship over the life of Mark. And may I say that, amen, if you're going to have a mentor in your life, Peter would be a good one. Amen, a man that's got the power of God upon his life. A man who's interested in doing the will of God. He ain't been a perfect man, but at this point of his life, in Acts chapter number 12, he has the touch of God. He has recovered from past failure. Amen, he's on a course to do and has done great things for God. Amen, and Mark has allowed Peter to pour, amen, the things of God into his life. May I say today that we all need, amen, mentors in our life. Amen, godly influences of preachers and just men, those that are real men or those that are real women. Amen, that can mentor in their life the things of God, what it is to live for God. Amen, what it is just even in these days to be a decent human being and has some stability in our life. Amen, and yet we live in a day, amen, a generation. Amen, they don't want any mentorship. They don't want any influence in their life. And they've got it all figured out because they watch a stupid YouTube video or they look something up on Google. Somebody say amen. Amen, can I say the greatest way to learn to live life, amen, is let somebody pour into your life. Amen, and not just anybody, but somebody, amen, that has a walk with Christ. Amen, I'm talking about the association of Mark. Do you see the privilege that he has? Do you see the privileges that he has of a praying mother and a parent-like mentor? Let me say number three, there's the association of what I call a powerful ministry. A powerful ministry. Look with me in chapter number 12. Look at the end of the chapter. The Bible said, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. They had been sent down there by the church at Antioch with relief to minister among those in the church in Jerusalem. The Bible said when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And I call this the association and influence of a powerful ministry. The fact that Mark is taken with Barnabas and Saul on the church at Antioch. Amen. What a privilege. What an influence. Amen. Not only a praying mother and a parent-like mentor, but to be able to walk with Barnabas and Saul, and be able to eat at the same table with them, and be able to be around when they're preaching and when they're teaching and to go back to the church in Antioch that at this time in many ways has as great or greater of an influence even than the church at Jerusalem. And what a powerful influence, amen, to be associated with this church in the ministry of the likes of great men as Barnabas and Saul was no doubt a great privilege for Mark to enjoy. I imagine there was growth that came out of this influence in his life. Amen. He's not going to some, amen, liberal church. He's not going where they water it down. He's, my friend, going to a powerful ministry, amen, that is elevating his life, that is challenging his life, amen, that is sparking, amen, him to be a greater Christian. Amen. In fact, so was the case of the ministry. It was at Antioch. The Bible said about the believers at Antioch, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Amen. They're so sold out. They're so dedicated that they were the first believers that were said, they're too much like Christ. We'll call them Christians. Amen. You see, he's going to a ministry, amen, that's going to hold his feet to the fire. He's, my friend, going to be a part of a powerful ministry. I'm not belittling the church at Jerusalem. Amen. There were great Christians there, great believers there. God is moving there. Amen. But if you're going to go to Antioch, you're going to live like a child of God. Amen. You're going to be a disciple that Christ has saved you to be. Amen. You don't play games at Antioch. Amen. They don't let you be wishy-washy and walk the rail and ride the fence. Amen. It's a powerful ministry. Amen. That Mark has a great privilege to sit in. Amen. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing what God is privileging this young man to be influenced by? Amen. You'll find if you look over one chapter, next chapter number 13, and you'll find that Saul and Barnabas, the Holy Ghost moves upon the church at Antioch to separate them from the work whereunto God had called them. And they're going to embark upon their first missionary journey. And the church ordains him, lays their hands on them, they fast and they pray. And the Bible said in verse number 3, that they sent them away. That is, Saul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Saul have been sent. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Look in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now notice this, and they had also John to their minister. And so we find that he is identified still with a powerful ministry. He's identified with a spirit-filled ministry. He's identified with a soul-winning ministry. Amen. What we find here, I believe, is that, amen, he is their minister. That means he's their servant. He's there to serve them. He's not a preacher himself. There doesn't seem to be an indication, amen, that he's anything more. And I'm not belittling this. It's extremely important. In fact, amen, Paul and Barnabas both counted it to be very important. He is, though, he is their water boy. Amen. He's the one that is there. If they need something, he'll run it down. Amen. If there's something that, amen, they need to ease their journey or lighten the load, John is there to their minister. He's their servant now. Amen. Evidently, the thought I gather from this, evidently, amen, Mark had been faithful, amen, upon leaving Jerusalem and going to Antioch. He had been faithful, Brother Jack, amen, in that church, in that ministry, to be able to tag along with Barnabas and Saul. Amen. Evidently he had served and served well. Evidently he had lived up to the standard of being a Christian. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Amen. Because I just don't count Barnabas and Saul, amen, to be the quality of men of God that are going to let some, amen, jackleg tag along with them. Amen. That they got to be looking over their shoulder. Amen. Every time they turn around to see what he's up to. Amen. Destroying their ministry or taking away from the gospel. Amen. That they've been sent out to preach. And so he's associated and influenced and identified. Amen. With a praying mother, a parent-like mentor, and a powerful ministry. Amen. What an influence that Mark had upon his life. Number two. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I know we're going over a lot, but it'll make sense here in a minute. Dear Lord, it's going to take 5 years to preach through the Gospel of Mark at this. Amen. We're just in the heading, the Gospel according to St. Mark. Amen. Notice with me, number two, not only the association, and really up to this point, the only thing we really know about Mark is who has influence on his life. Let me say before I move on, it's important who has influence in your life. We live in a generation of Christianity that, my friend, lets anyone and anything influence their life. John has some good influence in Mark. Marcus has some good influence in his life. I'm talking about the cream of the crop, the best as has ever been. I mean, he's got heroes of the New Testament faith, amen, that have their hands upon it everywhere he goes. He can say, I got a mama praying for me back home. Everything he does, he can say, I know mama's on her knees. Amen. Anything he runs up against, he can say, hey man, I can go sit down and talk with Peter, and Peter give me wisdom on how to deal with this in my life. Hey man, he's got a church that is pouring truth and preaching Christ and calling him, calling the Christian, hey man, out of him to live the life he's supposed to live. Be careful what you allow to have influence in your life. Hollywood ought to have zero influence on what you are. Let me preach a minute. I may not get done. This may be a two-parter. I want to preach something else this evening, but don't let Hollywood dictate and influence how you think, how you live, how you dress. We're living in a Christianity and a religion. And y'all bear with me now, we're living in a culture of Christianity in America that the average church of our day, if you look at their website, if you listen to their podcast, if you, my friend, attend their church and see what they, I'm talking about just what they put on the platform, you can't tell that you're even in a church, or are you at a concert, or my friend, if you got homos on the stage, because there have been such a influence that has crept in among God's people in these days. We got a generation that, my friend, is being influenced by the world and claims to want revival and claims to want the power of God and claims to want to do great things for God. John had some great influences in his life. I can't emphasize it enough. Be careful who you let influence your life. You got people in your life, and when you connect with them, you're always getting in trouble. You're always going off path. You're always walking away from what the church has poured in you and parents and prayed for you. Amen. I'm telling you, young folk, amen, be careful about that influence in your life. Amen. You can't afford, especially in these last days, to have, amen, there's already enough influences just trying to stay right. There's already enough spirits in pull on us, and advertisements the world makes, and that our flesh longs to go after. Amen. The detour to wrong influences is have some right influences in your life. Have some influences that will stand between you and the influences that are trying to drag you down the wrong road. Amen. I didn't mean to preach all this, but it's feeling good right now. Brother Mark had some associations, amen, that gave him every possibility, every opportunity to be a servant and a minister, amen, to walk alongside of a great and of great men of God, amen, to just simply be a servant, to be identified with what God was doing through others, and yet in that what seemed like a small servant role was actually aiding and helping Paul and Barnabas and Peter and the church in Jerusalem and then the church in Antioch to be what they were because he had some influences at work in his life. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen. If I was sitting in the pew, I'd stand up right now and say, preach on, preacher. Amen. Influence, association. Amen. Amnon could have been the next king over Israel. He could have followed in his daddy's footsteps. The Bible said Amnon had a friend. He had a bad influence in his life. Amen. And boy, I tell you, in these days, amen, I'm telling you, in these days, even as a parent, amen, trying to guard all the influences that are bombardments, my friend, trying to guard that and keep sin out of the house, amen, I'm telling you, it's a full-time job, amen, and to my own children, listen, amen, learn to allow the right influence to govern your life. It'll help keep the wrong influences at bay. Believe that's right. As a pastor, the influences that are constantly coming against the people of God. Amen. I'm telling you, we're living in days. Amen. It's an absolute transformation. But Tim, I ain't meaning to bog down here, but I think we need this kind of preaching this morning. Amen. The bombardment that are coming against churches at spiritual warfare. The attacks and how the devil is trying to influence it. And even people's own hearts are influencing them away from the stands that the church has made traditionally for years and years and years. Amen. Amen. There's a time you could go into a fundamental Bible-believing church. My friend, they had a standard that was high. Now, I'm not talking about Phariseeism, legalism. I'm just talking about traditionally, there was a day and a time, and I'm not talking about 50 years ago. Amen. I'm not talking about the 80s. I'm talking about, amen, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Amen. If that crowd can resurrect from the dead, amen, and step into churches in these days, amen, I believe they'd slap us upside our head and say, who in the world told you that was okay? They followed us around in our daily lives. Amen. Some of them old sainted women of God. Amen. They'd smack some of you women upside your head and say, who in the world told you a child of God could look like that? They heard the music we listened to and the movies we watched. Amen. They would say to you and I, amen, who in the world told you you can do that and be a Christian? What has happened? We've had the wrong influences in our lives. Dear God, this ain't even in the notes, but Charlie, I feel like the Holy Ghost is directing us this way. telling you we're so far removed from Antioch Christianity. Amen. From living a sold out life. I understand growth. I understand, amen, time. I understand gaining knowledge. Amen. But if you've been saved, amen, if you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years, amen, there ought to be something different in your life. Amen. By the influences that have poured into you. Amen. Amen. I've been trying to help my children understand. Amen. This world ain't got nothing for you. This world ain't got anything for you. Amen. Find them old sainted women of God. And it's amazing, Brother Larry, when I ask them, tell me who you know in your life is a real Christian. They point out the ones that's got the high standard. You can do with it what you want. They point out the ones that have sold out, gone all the way, got a prayer life, have proven to be faithful, have proven that, friend, to have a good attitude and a good spirit. Amen. And I'm finding myself, Brother Tim, saying, then aim for that. Aim for that. Shoot for that. Oh, follow this crowd that has lowered it by the influence of this world in their life. John Mark has some good influence in his life. Amen. Who's influencing you? Right. Whose influence is in your life? Who do you care about what they think? Amen. Well, I don't care what anybody thinks. That's the problem.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I care about what my preacher thinks about me.
Amen.
I care greatly what my preacher thinks about me. Are y'all listening? I care deeply what my church thinks about me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to mess those influences up. Set at the feet of men like Brother Raines and men like Brother Goolsby and men like Milford Biddle. I've sat at the tables with the Billy Mitchells and asked them questions. And what is the right way? And pour into my life, man of God. And they poured and they poured and they've influenced. Amen. Oh, I want to stay. Amen. I want to stay in that way that is right because of those influences that are on me.
Amen.
Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Notice with me. Notice with me, not only the associations, what a privilege he had. Notice with me the abandonment by Mark. See, it's one thing to have the influence, it's another thing to stay faithful to it. The Bible teaches us, I'm going to have to quit. Lord, have mercy. The abandonment by Mark. Amen. Let's just stop there. Let's stop there. Amen. Influence. I think, because I'm telling you, Jesse, there wasn't nothing about the last 15 minutes I just preached was in my notes to emphasize. I think the Holy Ghost just done that.
Amen.
Let's just stop right there, Brother Larry.
Amen.
And we'll pick her back up.
Amen.
I don't want to ruin what God, I'm telling you, God just did something in my heart.
Amen.
God just did something in my heart.
Amen.
I got to be careful. I ain't preaching down to you. I ain't on a soapbox. This preacher got to be careful what influences.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in these days, I'm not trying to be isolated. Amen. I don't want to do that. Amen. But Tim told us how dangerous that is today. And I ain't trying to do that. But I tell you what I am trying to do. I'm trying to be real careful.
Amen.
Even what preachers I allow to have an influence in my life. Their preachers, man, they got a high standard and they got a sorry, low down, rotten attitude about it. You say, what do you do? I'm real cautious to let that crowd have an influence on my life. Then there's another crowd, they're sweet as sugar, man. You won't find better people in all the world just to get around. They've watered the standard down to the point you can wear your short shorts and your Bermuda flip-flops and, amen, get on cruises and go on booze trips and gambling trips. And they all, amen, don't get me started what some of these preachers do. Amen. Go over, and I ain't ever been to Israel, but I can bless God guarantee if I ever go and I get to go to the empty tomb, I won't go in shorts and flip-flops.
Amen.
How stinking disrespectful.
Amen.
So they're sweet, but they've lowered the standards. You know what I've done? I've said, I'm not going to let them have an influence on my ministry. So, preacher, what then? Listen, you can have a high standard and still have a good disposition about you. You can rear back and chew the devil up one side and the flesh down the other and bust the world in the mouth, amen, and warn God's people there's a right way and there's a wrong way and still have a good spirit about you. Who's influencing us? Mark had some good influences. Is it important? You say, preacher, you done mentioned point number two is an abandonment, and we kind of already know what he done. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, he had some influences in his life. He may have walked away from some of them. Brother Bob, them influences are going to be a great part of him getting back, being able to sit down with the Holy Ghost on him one day to say the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Who's influencing us?